Father, this morning we bless you that you have chosen a people upon this earth. And Father, it's not been chosen by their works. It's not been chosen by humanity. It's been chosen with a divine selection from the heavenlies. Father, we have no choice in the matter. We recognize that you're the omnipotent God that reigns upon the whole earth, that you control everything that moves and breathes upon this earth, as well as the weather, the rain, the wind, the snow, the ice, the whatever disasters, the lightning. You control every one of these things. There is nothing in the universe that's beyond your control. Father, let our hearts believe this morning, that you are the omnipotent God that reigns on the whole earth. Father, we thank you this morning that you so love us, that you've chosen us. And Father, many times our heart would cry out because of the hardness of the walk you've set before us. But Father, it's such a blessing to be chosen. Not just called, Father, but chosen. Chosen by the hand of the Master to be placed upon a wheel and to be shaped to His desired form. Father, we bless you that you have a purpose and a desire in this earth. And Father, you will complete it to fulfill it to your purpose, to no one else's. This morning, Father, by your Spirit, I ask that our hearts be opened. And Father, they be open to understand the deep truths by your Spirit. May we see the things that you are revealing to our heart, spiritual things, Father, not natural things. Father, our eyes can look and see all the natural things, but that's not deliverance to us. Father, we need to see by the eye of the Spirit so we can interpret and understand what is being said in these natural words into what is being said inside of our hearts, the thing that will bring us to the maturity of Christ, that will grow us up and make us that fullness of the Christ in the earth. Father, today help us see those things, the things that will truly change us. And let us look at the hard walk as an honor and a blessing to be chosen to walk the walk. Father, we thank you this morning. Chapter 15, verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, and on the sea of glass, and stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you. For thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothed in pure white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Father, give us understanding of this morning. John is reading here. John is writing. And he's telling us the things that he saw in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So today we must put our mind in the heavenlies. We must leave the earth while we're reading this. Would you understand that? We must ascend into the heavenlies to read this book. And he just got through telling us in chapter 14 that in the 19th and 20th verses, the angel thrust his sickle into the earth. What are you? And gathered the vine of the earth. What is that? The Christ that's within you. And cast it into the great winepress. Right? Of the passion of God. Not the wrath, the passion. And the winepress was trodden outside the city. Right? And blood, that's life, came out of the winepress. Right? Even into the horses' bridles. This is speaking about a bridle that controls the mouth, right? A bridle controls the horse. In James 3 it said, we put a bridle in the horse's mouth and turn him whithersoever we want to go with him, right? So this is talking about the control. So this life flow that comes out of this wine press, this is all the pressures and the tribulations that we're going through in life. When all this is going on, it brings about the control of your mouth. Do you understand that? So all these things going on, it's going to put your mind in control that the things you speak are no longer going to be fleshly things, but they're going to be controlled by the Spirit of God. We understand that, right? Okay. So life is going to flow clear up here, and it's going to flow out of your mouth. It's going to ascend up out of the fleshly realm into the spirit realm, into our heads, into our minds. And to the horse's bridle for 1,600 furlongs or 200 miles, or this is a witness, God says it's going to be and it will be. Okay? When he can swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, didn't he? God doesn't need a witness, does he? He is. And then immediately after he says this, he says, I saw another sign in heaven or in the spirit realm. Great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues are literally calamities. The seven last tough things we're going to go through. Well, that ought to make you happy when you get into the last seven, shouldn't it? Huh? Because you've come to completion. Having the seven last calamities, because in them is literally not filled up, but literally completed. What? Come on, help me. No, what is completed? Come on, read right in front of your face. What's it say? Yeah. No, it says, is filled up what? The wrath of God. This word wrath is not wrath, it's passion. It's thumos. It's passion. Look it up. That's exactly what the word means, passion. The passion of God is fulfilled in these last seven things. So when these seven things are done, guess what? It's over. It's finished, just like Jesus cried out on the cross. It's finished. These are the last seven things. We need to understand them. Very important. And he said, I saw as it were... Now, he saw these seven plagues, with these seven angels with seven plagues, or seven calamities. And he said, I saw as it were a sea of glass. Okay? What's a sea speak of? Multitudes of people, humanity. He said, I saw on this sea of glass. Now, what does that mean, glass? No. What is glass? Made out of sand. What does sand tell you? Huh? It's a covenant. Right. It's a covenant. So, it's a second covenant. A sea of glass. Well, you can't get to the sand unless you've been in the dust, can you? So, we've got the dust and the sand covenant. So, here we see this sea of glass. Okay? This is the first two covenants. Mingled with what?
Fire.
Well, you know what dust and sand and fire make?
Glass.
Okay. Glass is smooth, isn't it? You want to be smooth, you're going to have to go through the dust, the sand, and be pitched into the fire. Okay? And them that had gotten the victory over what? Over the beast, or from the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over his number of his name, stand on the sea of glass. Now, all this fire that's going on in our life, all these things we've shared this morning, things going on in our lives that just make you want to, just get you so upset. That's the very thing that's going to make you into this glass. See? When you get through with all these things, you will be able to stand upon the sea of glass. What does that tell you? I have overcome those first two realms, the earthly realms. I no longer have to stay in the dust or the sand. There's something transparent that's holding me above those first two realms. And what would that be? It's the Christ. It's the Spirit of God. Invisible, clear, holy, pure. Something purified has got me raised above those earthly realms in God. Right? And that's the Spirit of God, which is holy and righteous and clear and pure. Only God can do that. Only the wisdom of God could think about all this hell we go through making us perfect. Do you know that? Because we'd try to hide behind a tree somewhere on top of a mountain to make ourselves holy. Don't they? Don't the world do that today? They try to isolate themselves and get away from everybody so they can be perfect. Well, you know what? They're just perfectly deceived. That's all they are. The only thing that's going to change us is what God has put in our life. And if we reject the fire of God that He has set in our lives, guess what? We'll just be perfectly deceived. That's all. Come on. But he said, after they got through this stuff, they got through the beast, the image of his name, image of the beast, the mark of the beast, and over the number of his name, stand upon the sea of glass, having what? Having harps of God. What's that tell me? People worshiping. See, once you find out what God has done in your life, what can you do, Keith? But worship God. He said, why? You know who it is. See? You can lift your hands to the Holy One because you know that He's the one that did it all. I didn't have nothing to do with it, did I? See? If I'd had anything to do with it, it'd still be a mess. If I lift my hands, no one can hold on to me but God. See, I'm lifted above everybody. Nobody can get me but God. There's nothing above the dust and the sand but God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, thou King of what? Nations. King of the nations, the Gentiles. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, but He's King of the whole universe. Hello? He's not just king of saints. He's king of everybody. Just because they don't recognize him, see, it's not a democratic situation here. We didn't vote him king, did we? He is king because he said he's king. That's called a monarchy. He makes the rules. It's theocratic. He is king because he said so. He has the power and authority to declare anything, and he declared he is king. But he's king of saints. But it's really, ethnos is the word. It's literally the nations or the Gentiles. He's the king of all of us. Do you know the Jews were Gentiles too before God started with them? They were too. They were just part of the nations, weren't they? One of the many nations on the earth until God chose Abraham to start something, didn't he? Right? So they can go back to their beginnings and find out they were. Abraham was a moon worshiper in the Ur of Chaldees. And if that isn't pagan and Gentile, what is? God chose that to start from. Did any of you ever realize what the Song of Moses is? Well, in Exodus 15, it'll show you what it is. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to preach it because I'd go a long ways on that, so I'm not going to do that. Exodus chapter 15, Genesis, Exodus, turn to Exodus 15 and I'll read this to you. Now they had just got delivered from Pharaoh and his armies. And they had crossed the river Jordan, right? Got over the Red Sea, rather. And it says this in the first verse, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spoke, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown in the sea. And the Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation, literally deliverance. He is my God, and I will prepare Him a habitation. Wonder what that habitation is. Me, okay, that's you. My Father is God, and I will exalt Him. See, this is somebody singing something. I can't help it, I got to go there. My Father is God, You have to be able to sing this and say, my father is God. I have to know my heritage. I can no longer say my father is Adam and think I can worship God. I have to know that my heritage is from God Almighty. Can no longer drag back on that flesh stuff. No more of that flip-flop stuff. And I will exalt him. He didn't say I might. He said, I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of your excellency you have overthrown them that rose up against you. Thou sent forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed as the heart of the sea, in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide. My lust shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. And then all of a sudden God comes back and bits us. But thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. They sunk as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast girded them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. How'd you get there? He girded you in strength to get you there. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, Adam. And mighty men of Moab, the flesh, trembling, shall take hold upon them. And all the inhabitants of Canaan, the people of low degree, shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of your arm. They shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Oh boy. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. In the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for you to dwell in the sanctuary. O Lord, which thy hands has established, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with the chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Oh my God. Get back out of there. That's the song. And you need to see that song. And you got to sing it in your heart. And you can't sing it in your heart just because you read those words back there. You've got to hear it in your heart by the Spirit of God. Oh, it's beautiful. Who shall not fear you, verse 4, or revere you, O Lord, and glorify your name or your nature? Because you only are holy, because all nations shall come and worship before you, because your judgments are made manifest, or literally apparent, or visible. You can see them. And after that, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Now, look what he set up here. When you've overcame those first two realms of the church, the first two covenants that God made with Abraham, dust and sand, mingled with fire, made this sea of glass, which elevates you above the sea, the dust and the sand, right? God has got you there. Now you have been seated in the heavenlies, as Paul said, correct? Okay? Now you've got there, and once you get there, what do you start to do? You start to worship God and to sing this song of Moses. You start to, don't think it just because it says sing that you're going to sing with music. It's going to be something out of your heart that you're going to proclaim in this earth. You're going to sing with a joy in your heart. You're going to tell people what God has done, His marvelous works He's done in your life. Don't think everybody's going to like you for it. Come on, don't get there. But you're going to proclaim everything that God's doing. Go back and read Exodus 15 and hear all the things that He's done. You're going to proclaim them things. Singing don't necessarily just mean getting behind a keyboard, does it, and playing music and singing. That's not what it's talking about. You can just talk and speak the Word of God. But you're going to do that because you have already come above those other two covenants. And you know it's not by your power, it's what He has done that has put you in that realm. You'll never take credit for anything God does in your life. It's all what He did. He said He did not share His glory with another man, that Adam man. But He will share it with the Christ man that's in you. There's the good part of it. Okay? And He said, literally when it says after this, that word after literally is in the midst of. It's the word meta. It's in the midst of all this stuff going on, of these things. Okay? I looked and behold the temple of the tabernacle. Literally it's the naos, Greek word naos. It's the spiritual temple. See, we're not talking about a physical temple like a lot of people want to put in today, that they're going to build this temple in Jerusalem and that they're fighting over a piece of ground, killing thousands and hundreds of thousands of people over a stinking piece of ground that don't mean squat to nothing. It's just in their head. It's a natural thing. The spiritual temple, the naos He's talking about, He said, it was opened in heaven. Right? This naos temple, spiritual temple, was opened in the spirit realm. That be us. Know you not that you're the tabernacle of the living God? Right? The tent tabernacle of the Holy Ghost? This is about you being open. When we get to those places, when we've come above the dust and the sand, we've come to a place now that we're open before God. And God can walk in and walk out, and we walk in and we walk out. We can walk into the throne room, sit down on our Father's lap, and say, "Hi, Daddy. How you doing? What do you think we ought to do today? Because, see, I ain't got no plan. All I've got is a desire to do what you want. What do you want to do today?" I didn't get up this morning and say, "Father, I think I'd rather do this than this, so get somebody to fill in for me." No, today it's about us being open before God in this tabernacle, see, because we are opened. Paul said it another way in Hebrews, the veil's been rent, and we can boldly enter into the throne room, right? Why? By the blood of Jesus. It was nothing we did. Absolutely. The old man's gone. It's like we sang in that song this morning. The old man is dead, and we are seated in Christ. It's all over. If we can walk through these realms, we can see this as plain as day. God will take us and grow us right up in this. And in the midst of these things, I looked, and behold, the naos temple, the spiritual temple of the tabernacle, or the tent of the testimony. And literally, it's the tent of the evidence given. Now, we can say tent of the testimony if you want to. But the Greek language tells me more than that. It says it's the tent of the testimony or the evidence given. This is me. I'm a tent. But you know what? There's evidence in me. That's right. And it's got to be in you the same way. You've got to be that evidence given that the Christ is alive in this earth today. See, the world ain't going to show that, are they? But God has a people. He has a tent chosen, a spiritual tabernacle, a spiritual tent, which we are. And we have the evidence in us. But the only problem is the world can't see it. Do you know that? They can't see it in us. But they should. I know Bill sings a song, Can the world see Jesus in me? But that's the truth. Can they see the Christ within you? We are supposed to be a written epistle to be read of all men. Can they read our lives and see Christ in our lives? Well, what everybody wants to do, they want to look at somebody like Phil or me or anybody else in here that has a record behind them as long as your arm, you know, bad things, and say, "Well, that's a bad person." Well, see, that's someone reading with the natural eye. I want to look and see. I want to see the past. Say, "Whoa, boy, that was a bad past." But look where God intervened. Look where God intervened. Look at this man or this woman that made an about face, and look what happened in their life. I don't care what was back there. I want to see the change in their life. I want to see that marker that you're not supposed to remove that landmark, the old landmark where Christ put his mark upon you. And I want to see where you come to there, to the cross, okay? And guess what? I want to see what God's done in your life now. I can still see that old stuff. I'm not blind, but that's not important. That's part of what made you who you are today. If you didn't go through all that stuff, you wouldn't be the character you are today. And I thank God for that. The ability to see the change in people's lives. It's amazing. Didn't he say his works are marvelous in the first verse? Great and marvelous. Because God's opening a tabernacle and putting a change in it and putting evidence in our lives that we are not the same people. That we don't belong to ourselves. We've been bought and paid for by Him. Right? That's what God's doing today. Oh my goodness. And the seven angels came out of the temple. Right? That's that Naos temple. So, hello, where'd it come from? Hello. Where'd it come from? Out of us. These are messengers. See, everybody thinks they're messengers coming to you, but they're coming out from you. Remember what we talked last week about exposing things? We have to be able to be exposed so we can see them because they're hidden within us. David cried out, Lord, deliver me from the presumptuous sins, the hidden sins of my heart. I don't know they're there. And if God doesn't love me enough to send somebody to stomp on my toe when I get out of line, I'll never change. You ought to thank your brothers and sisters when they come to you and say, hey, you know, there's something wrong with what you're doing. I know that's not natural, okay? But that's spiritual. It may not be natural, but it is spiritual. Whenever someone comes and says, hey, you got a problem in your life, when you look at it, you may not feel like it right then, but when you look at it and see, hey, you know what? They were right. You ought to go back and give them a big hug. Because they loved you enough to jeopardize your relationship, to tell you a fault, not to tear you down, but to what? To help build you up. So you ought to be thankful for people like that in your life. And God sends them along. Thank God for them. But the seven angels came out of the temple, the spiritual temple, having the seven calamities. And guess what they were clothed in? Pure, radiant, white linen, having their breasts girded with what? Golden, or God's girdle. Gold is God. So you know what? Them messengers are divine messengers from God. In Deuteronomy, there were seven spirits stronger and mightier than the nation of Israel, right? Speaking of seven things within inside of us. How many spirits was cast out of Mary Magdalene in the Gospels? How many spirits did Jesus cast out of her? Seven. Think that's coincidence? Do you think that's coincidence? Come on. These are seven divine things that's in our life, okay? We can't look at this thing as some big, bad thing. It's something good that God's working in our life. Do you understand what I'm saying? All these things work for good to them that are called according to God's purpose, right? And one of the four beasts, now when we see this one of the four beasts, we see this in the natural, read this with our eye, what do we see? Four, some kind of monster sitting around, okay? That's what the world wants to teach you. That's what the church world wants to teach you. Four beasts. What's it speak of? Complete God-man. So from out of this complete God-man came what? Hello? See? From out of the four beasts, that's the complete God-man, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials. It's all speaking about God's stuff, isn't it? Full of what? It's the word thumos again. It's the passion of God. The one who lives into the age of ages. Okay? So these vials were full of God's passion. These messengers have been placed in our life. For what purpose? To fulfill the passion of God. God's not angry anymore. Come on. I don't know if God ever was angry. I think He's been portrayed that way. Don't you? I don't think God's ever been mad. Where?
In verse 6 there.
Mm-hmm.
It says having their breast girded with holding,
what's in here? Heart. But this is, that's not, well, it's not the breast, it's the chest. If you look at the language, it's wrong. The breast is wrong. It's the chest, okay? It's having their chest girt about. What's in your chest? It's your heart. So they have the heart of God, okay? See, the word breast is misleading a lot of times the language. They call this the breast, don't they? This is the breast on man or woman. It's called breast. So it's not really a nourishing what you talked about there. But they have obviously been nourished of God because God is male and female.
It kind of seemed like the nourishment. Mm-hmm. I thought about that. Who was it later?
John. Right. But they were clothed. These are the messengers coming out of the complete God-man, okay? And so the complete God-man gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials, verse 7, of the passion of God who lives, the one that lives forever and ever into the age of ages. And the temple was filled with what? Well, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost or the living God?" And this spiritual temple was filled with smoke. What is that? Blinding power. Okay? It can be the presence of God or blinding power. Wherever God appeared, there was always that smoke and cloud, right? Now, what is the purpose of this? What's he trying to tell you here? That the temple was filled with smoke. When Adam was cast out of the Garden of Eden, right, when Adam and Eve was cast out, there was put a what at the gate? Cherubim. Angels, cherubim. And they had a sword, but they kept you back, see? You couldn't get in. And what this is here, this smoke, is that God blinded humanity from their beginning. Is that true? When Adam came out of the garden, did he know what was going on? He had known up until that time. But when God dealt with his life and exposed the things that were in him, he went into darkness. Is that true? So he was blinded here. We've got it in our lives now. That's what we're trying to get rid of. See, get rid of that smoke. It's God's blinding power from the glory of God. See, he told Moses to turn your back because you can't look on me and do what? Live. God put that blinding power there because until this temple has been purified and cleansed, I can't see God and live, can I? You had to wash. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's talking about the smoke. But the smoke will keep you in carnality, Larry. The smoke will keep you thinking in this natural mind until you're straightened up. And God gets you where he wants you to so he can set you up on top of that sea of glass and you can be open into the heavens, see, and back to the earth too. Because you hadn't separated from there, you were standing on that sea of glass. You're not leaving them behind. And the temple was filled with smoke, the blinding power of the glory of God, and from his power, and no man was able to enter what? Now, again, it's a spiritual temple. See, in the old covenant, they had a building, they had a tent they could go into and say, this is the Holy of Holies. But now the Holy of Holies is where?
In me.
It's in you. Right?
Right
between your temples. That's right. It's right up here. So the Holy of Holies is here that no man was able to enter till. Now notice that word till. It's there. Till the seven plagues of the seven angels were what?
Completed.
See, we can't enter the Holy of Holies just because we want to. We can't sing a song and enter the Holy of Holies until these seven calamities have taken place in our life. We don't have the ability, see, till these seven calamities are fulfilled, we can't even get to the Holy of Holies. And the churches, most of the church world thinks they're sitting in the Holy of Holies. But again, as long as they sit in the dust and the sand that's on the earth, isn't it? And I know what it says in the book. It says, woe unto them that dwell upon the earth. And it says even in Matthew 24, in Revelation 13, he said he deceived them that dwelled upon the earth. He deceived the whole earth. So as long as we stay in them first two realms, what are we? We're deceived. We must descend on into the heavenlies. We don't have an option. God said, you're deceived in the first two realms. Now, we can't enter until the seven plagues or the seven calamities are fulfilled or completed. Now, is this a corporate thing?
Yes.
No.
Yeah, no.
No. It's an individual thing. See, each one of us are the tabernacle of God individually, right? And we're built together, lively stones built one upon another into a lively habitation for God, right? But this is an individual walk. And when you come to the place in your life when these seven calamities have been fulfilled or completed in your life, guess what you just become? One of those lively stones that's been placed into the habitation. See, another piece of the habitation. Another piece of the habitation until we come to the fullness of God. But when we walk into this realm, that's why he's teaching us. When we come to this realm and ascend above this stuff, then God can place us as another stone in the foundation of the church.
What are the calamities?
Well, we haven't got there yet. That's next chapter.
Oh.
Okay? Because the next chapter, that's next week, God permitting, we'll get to the seven calamities. Well, we'll get six of them next week. I don't think a seventh one's in there.
Okay, well, I'll wait.
The six of those are in there next week. You're going to ask me to preach another hour. Okay? Any questions about this morning? Do you understand what we was talking about? This is an internal thing that God's working into our lives. Do you understand that?
In the natural, or in the symbolic thing, all of this is the tabernacle.
Sure.
I was thinking of something like the first two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
In a pregnancy, there's always three...